Today I want us to look at Joseph, and this mere man fills a very important role in bringing God's will to accomplishment. But would he be willing to do it? I think there's so much more. This is such a blessing that Joseph gets chosen to play the role he gets. But is Joseph ready to jump in and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do what you need me to do. I'll do what you want me to do." Joseph fulfilled the requirements of being David in David's line. He fulfilled this role as being this man that God could use. And he was being called to be the earthly father of Jesus, and he was willing to step up to that role. I want us to see this morning how Joseph pursued God in his living, in his learning, and then in his submission to do what God was calling him to do. And I hope we all look at it through the eyes of, are we like him in that matter? Joseph's a man, he's a sinful man, he makes mistakes, we understand that, but he is willing, because he loves his God and serves his God, to be used. Are we in that kind of boat? Are we willing to do what God wants us to do so he can accomplish his will here on earth? Let's pray and then we'll look at this together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to this season with great joy. We come to this season excited because we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. Because we know without that Savior coming into the earth, we have zero hope. We have zero opportunity to have a relationship with you. But because you loved us and sent your Son, he has done the work to reconcile us to you, and we praise you for that. Lord, I pray that this morning as we begin to think that way, that direction of this season, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, that you'd convict us where we maybe hold on to our lives and say no. That you'd show us where we're not submissive and willing. And oh Lord, that we would get that right with you and be busy about the Father's business as our Lord was. Lord, open our eyes this morning and we'll give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember leaving the hospital in Monroe, North Carolina with both of our children. First Emily, then Charlie. And I remember leaving that hospital. And I want to tell you, I don't know if other dads feel this way, but I remember feeling this immense amount of responsibility. I remember we had like a nurse come and check our car seat to make sure it was safe, make sure it was installed properly, because the reams of information that we had read before, that wasn't enough. We had to have a nurse come out and check. I remember leaving there, and if you're supposed to have a 2 car lengths to the car in front of you, I had 4 car lengths. I was being very careful. I remember if the speed limit was 45 miles an hour, I was going 41, because I didn't want to have any accidents, because I had this child in the back, and I'm responsible for getting that child those 2.8 miles back home. And something bad can happen close to home. I remember that feeling of responsibility, and then getting home, and the nice nurses that we had in the hospital disappeared. And if that baby was crying or that baby needed something, it was up to us. And I remember thinking, wow, what am I going to do? I'm going to mess something up. It's going to go bad. And I remember being so a sense of responsibility. What on earth, God, have you given us, and why on earth would you have given us this child? We're not up to the task. I remember having thoughts like that, obviously grateful for our children, but feeling this great sense of immense responsibility. I wonder what it was like for Joseph. He finds out that Mary's going to have a child, and now he is given this responsibility to be the earthly father to none other than God in the flesh. But he pursues his God enough that he says, you know what, I'm going to do what you ask me to do. And he did to the best of his human ability what he could do. And I think at the end of his story, I think God said, well done, Joseph. But how does Joseph get to the place where he's willing to do what God asked him to do? And I happen to think it comes to this matter of pursuing his God. He knows his God. He loves his God. He wants to serve his God. And if that means raising the Christ child, he's going to do it. An amazing job that has been lined up here for Joseph by God. And he willingly serves. I want us to see Joseph's pursuit of God here in his living. Look at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. We're told in the previous verse that before Mary and Joseph have come together, she's found with child of the Holy Ghost. In verse 19 here, we start to learn about this man Joseph and something about him. By the way, he is a very well-known man. We find in the gospel several times when Jesus does something, the people say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They know this guy. So when the record is being written of Joseph, there are eyewitnesses living that can counteract what is being done here. So the gospel writer is giving us the truth about Joseph. And he says here in verse 19 that Joseph is a just man. In his living, we learn that he's a just man. Notice there in verse 19, a very important but very word we look over. It says there, being a just man. You might think, Pastor Joel, you're going a little bit far. You're stretching this a little bit much. There wasn't much for you to talk about, so you're really stretching this out. I want you to see here, he's being a just man. This is a present tense statement. You ever met somebody that they find out they're going to have a child and then they haven't cared about God, haven't cared about being in church, don't seem to notice those things, but they find out they're having a child and they think something like, well, I've got to go to church, I've got to be a good example. Or maybe they're going to get married and they start to realize, man, we got to start this marriage out right. I probably ought to go to church. I probably ought to read my Bible. And sometimes people that don't know the Lord will think that way. When we learn about Joseph being just, he's not getting just. He's not working towards being just. God declares him being just. He is just. He's already living that out. That's the way he lives. He is a man that lives a just kind of a lifestyle. He's already there. He's living it out. It's very important that we see that he's already living this way. Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking about how God is going to provide the needs. And he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not much more, he much more clothe you. Talking about God's provision. And what does he say? Well, the grass is. It exists. Tomorrow it goes into the oven. It is a present tense statement. When he's talking about prayer, and Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. When he's talking about that, he talks about that men, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things? He's saying man is evil. We are being evil. We presently are evil. Yet as evil people, we know how to take care of our children. God's good and he knows how to take care of us even better. The idea there is it's a present condition. You're already in it. Joseph is in this present condition of being a just man. He's living that out. He isn't straightening up because he's going to get married to Mary. He isn't trying out these things because he's going to try to be a good husband. He isn't thinking about a possible child on the way and maybe I should start acting right. He's already living that way. And for our young people in here, can I remind you that Joseph is probably 13 to 15 years of age. And the testimony God writes of him is says, this man is just. He's not an experienced scholar in the faith. He's a teenager. The minimum for marriage in that day for boys was 13 years old. They made it to their 20s. They were considered an embarrassment if they weren't married. Joseph's a young man here. He's being a just man. So what does it mean that he's just? He's presently in that kind of condition. It has the idea of his character. He is an upright man. He's a virtuous man. He's a holy man. Not now and not that he doesn't sin, but he lives a holy kind of life. That's who he is. He lives in accordance with God's laws. He is one who strictly observed the law and the customs of his faith. That creates a problem. Look at verse 9, back to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they're engaged, it's a done deal legally. Before they were come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And now this just man, this just keeper of the law, has to make a decision what he's going to do. Now understand, if he's a just man that keeps the law provided for what was supposed to be done when somebody was pregnant outside of marriage. It was called adultery, and they stoned them. Deuteronomy provides for that. That's what the law had to say about it. Now, if Joseph is a just man and he keeps that law, that's what he's supposed to do. But I want you to notice, secondly, that this man is a man of discretion. In his living, we see he's just, but we also see he has discretion. Look there again in verse 19. Being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. The law says put her away, but Joseph is not willing to make an example of her. He doesn't want to be vengeful towards her. He doesn't want to make a scene. He doesn't want to bring her before the town elders and say, we've got to stone this woman. He doesn't want her to know. He decides, because he is exercising discretion, that he will do this privily. Now, that provides for Mary. Joseph there is providing for Mary, because if he does this privately, he does not have to give a cause for the divorcement. And that also was provided for in the law. He could be divorced. They could have a couple witnesses sign the paper. And he would never have to say that the reason we're divorced is because of her sin of adultery. He can do it without embarrassing her that way. So Joseph, actually, in his just keeping of the law, actually turns the law to the end. Remember when Jesus said, the point of the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor is yourself? Joseph here puts himself in Mary's shoes and says, I'm going to take care of her in a kind way, in a merciful way. The law there, is the point of the law, is to be tender and merciful. And that's exactly what God, the lawgiver, is. He's a merciful God, a long-suffering God, a tender God, a mercy-giving kind of God. And that's what Joseph is living out in this situation. He had all the rights to make a public scene, but he doesn't, because he's a just man that is using discretion here. He sees the bigger picture in this law, and knowing that God of that law, he's tender towards her. True righteousness isn't hateful. It isn't jealous. It isn't competitive. True righteousness is merciful, and Joseph here is showing mercy. He doesn't try and get her back. Doesn't try and destroy her, no. He wants to put her away privily. Look at verse 20. Now we see his devotion. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's a man of justice towards the law. He's a man of discretion. He's a man of devotion. He's not just concerned with the rules. Do you remember when Peter was called to go to Cornelius' house in Acts 10. And prior to that, they weren't to spend time with people other than the Jews. And Cornelius has a vision, has a dream, to go send for Peter to come. While the messengers are coming to get Peter, Peter's having a dream on his own roof housetop. And on that dream, there is being let out of heaven all kinds of foods to eat. And an angel tells him, kill it and eat it. And Peter's response is, well, I can't eat things that are unclean. And the voice comes back to him, are you calling what God has given unclean or common? And the point of that message was, he was to go and he was going to take that gospel and it was going to go to people other than the Jews now. And he was supposed to do that. So he goes to Cornelius' house. The house is full of people. And Peter goes in there and preaches Christ. And the Holy Spirit falls in that place. People get saved. People get baptized. And now the gospel has gone out. Well, prior to that, that was not the program. And Peter, when he sees these foods he's supposed to eat, that he's supposed to be unclean to him as a Jew, he says, no, I can't do that. But God says, no, this is what I want you to do. Joseph has this devotion to when God says to him, listen, I want to have another plan for you. It's not to divorce your wife. It's not to stone her. It's not to do that. But I want you to marry her, which went against what the law had taught them. And Joseph has enough devotion and enough pursuit of his God that he says, I'm going to listen to you, God. Sometimes we can get so focused on the rules that there's no bending and there's so much focus, we have to do it this way. But Joseph knows his God enough and he's devoted to his God enough that when God says, here's what I want you to do, he's willing to do that. The angel of the Lord here appears to him and he says, I want you to take unto thee Mary thy wife. The reason there is the child is of the Holy Ghost. So in his living, Joseph is a just man. In his living, Joseph is a man that has discretion and devotion to God. So he gets this call that he is going to be the father of this Christ child, the earthly father of this Christ child. Look there in verse 20 again. That child is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph is sown to pursue his God and his learning because he is going to get here. He just got from the angel of the Lord God's plan. Now think about this for a minute. You're about to get married. What is Joseph thinking about? Joseph's thinking about that bride-to-be. Boy, he loves that Mary. He cannot wait to be married to her. They're in that betrothal period right now, that waiting period, time to make sure they're ready for marriage. And he is excited. He's thinking about getting married. And now we're going to be able to stay in the same house. I'm going to be able to go get married. I'm going to bring her back home. We're going to build this home. I'm going to build my business. And he's got all of these dreams and aspirations, right? But all that just got put on the side. All that is now out of the picture. And now what is the picture is, Joseph, you're going to have this child. It's going to be a child of the Holy Ghost. You're going to call him Jesus. You're going to call him Emmanuel. Because this one that's coming to your house is God. Do you notice what the situation is for Joseph? I was a little bit nervous about having my children in the car with me when they were a half hour, an hour, a day or two old. I wasn't having God in the flesh coming to my house. Joseph has a tremendous responsibility here. And it's all being put in the plan is pushing his plans out of the way. He's just found out the woman he's engaged to is expecting a child. And this angel reveals to him in this dream that don't put her away, but marry her. The Holy Spirit here, God here, is letting Joseph know how to handle this. You ever been in a situation where you think, I just don't know what to do? I'm sure Joseph was here. I don't know what to do. I know what the law says. I don't want to do that. I don't know how to handle this. And God comes along and helps him to know what to do. You may say, I find yourself in those situations where I don't know what to do. Can I tell you, don't wait for an angel to come to you in a dream, but pursue God in his word and find out what he would have. You'll be shocked at how he loves to lead his people. Joseph's being led here, not to make a mistake, but led to be used here. This child is of the Holy Ghost, and it's not your fault. It's not Mary's fault. It's of the Holy Ghost. And that child that's coming is God's son. Look there again in verse 21. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Later, you're going to name this child Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph here is going to have this child that is the product of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking as he learns more about this child, the stress level is going even higher. Wait a minute, it's time to name him Jesus. What does that mean? Jehovah is salvation. Now, remember, Joseph's a man of the law. He's a faithful Jew. What were the Jews waiting on? They were waiting on the Messiah. They are waiting on Jehovah to save them. Joseph, you're going to have a child. You're going to be the responsibility of being the earthly father of this child. And guess what? The child just happens to be Jehovah in the flesh. Jehovah coming to save his people from their sins. Not a small deal. Not a little thing. Joseph has got to be trusting God in this. This child that you're going to have, he is the fulfillment of that prophecy there in Matthew, there in verses 22 and 23. He records that this one that's coming is the child that's been prophesied. Joseph, the one you're waiting on, guess what? He's coming to your house. The one you've been looking forward to. Your wife's going to have him. Joseph, you're going to bring him up. You're going to be his earthly father. Think about the example he's supposed to set. You ever think about that? My kids are perfect, but this child really is perfect. He really is perfect. He really is God in the flesh, and he makes no mistake. And Joseph, your job is to bring him up. provide for him, take care of him. You know, wow. Amazing that he's got this responsibility. He's come through David's line. Joseph is the one that God's going to use here. There's no pressure here. It's just God in the flesh coming to your home. An amazing thought. He knew who this one was because he had looked forward to him. He had looked forward to this Messiah. He had looked forward to Emmanuel, God coming. And now he finds out he's got this child coming to his house. And consider this. It's God's son, God's glory coming there, but that glory is going to come with a lot of ridicule and suffering. Remember last week we looked at Romans 8 where Paul promises that we are going to suffer like Christ before the glory comes. I don't think Joseph's well-meaning, faithful Jewish friends understood what was going on. Do you? They're saying, oh, this Joseph, he's supposed to be a just man. He's supposed to keep the law perfectly, but you know what he's going to do? He's going to marry that adulterous woman. Now, we know that's not true, but that's what they would have said. I'm sure the loving family came around him and said, now, Joseph, what do you think you're doing? You got to get out of this situation. You can't marry a woman that's already expecting. You can't. This is wrong. You can't do this. And then Joseph has a good reason. Well, it's not what you think. It's a child of the Holy Ghost. Do you think they believed him? I'm just going to guess and say no. They thought he was lying to him. Well, I'm telling you, it's a miracle, guys. There's nothing wrong here. It's a miracle. I'm going to have God's child in my home. My wife's going to bear the Christ child. I'm pretty certain they didn't look at him like, oh, that's great, Joseph. Thanks for clearing it up. I'm pretty sure that they're thinking, you're nuts. You're crazy, and you've got to get out of this situation. He's got a lot of ridicule here. Think about the faithful business. He's a carpenter and people are coming. He's trying to build a business, but now they won't go to a guy that'll marry a woman like that. Think about the whispers as they're going through the streets and here they come. Here come Joseph and Mary. You know the story about them, don't you? That glory of having that child in his house was a blessing, but boy, it came with a big price tag for him personally. But he's willing to deal with that ridicule because he's wanting God's plan. Look at verse 24. We also see his pursuit of God and his submission. A person that pursues after their God is willing to obey, ready to submit to what God wants them to do. And we see that in verse 24. He's gotten the word from the angel. He knows about this pregnancy. He knows the child that's coming. And in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, notice, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Here we see his pursuit of God and his obedience. He does as the angel says. There's no other option. Right now you might say, well, Pastor Joel, that's easy. God's speaking to him. That's really easy, but how often do we open God's word and God speaks to us and we're like, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's that easy for Joseph to just go along with this. But I think he has such a focus on his God that he's willing to do this. He's got this plan and he does exactly as he's told, exactly as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He gets his family together and he takes his marriage entourage over to Mary's place to get his bride and bring her back home. He goes ahead and marries her, even though what people might have thought, even though what it might have looked like. He does this because God has told him to do it. And he brings her back. Brings her back to his house. Look at his discipline in verse 25. He knows her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. The angel told him to marry her, but he couldn't be with her physically. And he had the devotion to his God to hold that, to not go that direction, to stay, know her not until the baby is born. He's a young man, but he's able to discipline himself this way. And then look at chapter 2. We see another instance of his obedience here when he's supposed to move the family. And I think this is, again, another amazing thought. Chapter 2, verse 13. The wise men have come. They've worshipped. Herod knows they're there, but they leave another way because they realize Herod's bad news. And in verse 13, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." He's submissive and he's obedient when God calls on him to move this family and protect this child. Herod's out trying to kill all the babies that are born in that time frame. He's out trying to destroy the Messiah. And Joseph gets word from the angel again, hey, you've got to get out of here. And notice the next verse, by night he goes. There's not a, let me deliberate about this a minute. Let me think about whether I ought to obey. By night he gets out of there and he gets the child to Egypt to safety, just as the Lord had told him to do. They don't waste any time obeying. He knows his God, pursues his God, and does what God asks him to do. It's not hard to notice the similarity, is it, between another man, Joseph, the one that was sold into slavery and found himself in Egypt, the Joseph that obeyed God's word and wisdom about a coming famine, put food away, and then later on, the very children of Israel were able to run to Egypt, and that Joseph that was a castaway, that Joseph would actually provide for their salvation. This Joseph that knows his God and does what God has called him to do, this Joseph that obeys and submits to God's plans, this Joseph hides away this baby, preserving him that he might save mankind. So how do we get to a place spiritually where we act like Joseph does? Again, he's not a perfect man, don't get me wrong. But he's a man willing to be used by God. How do we get spiritually to the place where we say yes to God's plans for us? When our plans and God's plans conflict, we get rid of our plans and we take on God's plan. When it's a little bit uncomfortable, or when we're going to suffer a little bit for it, or when it's difficult, we say, yes, I want your plan instead of God. How do we get there? I think it starts with this pursuing our God. He knows his God. He knows what his God wants to accomplish. He knows God's plan and the fact that he's going to send a Messiah. And when he finds out it's going to be his home to have the Messiah, he's willing. Because he wants God's will beyond his own. He wants God's will more than his own. As you learn his will for your life, are you quick to obey? When God puts something on your heart, are you quick to, yes, Lord, that's what I want? I don't mean like a time to time, every once in a while, doing what I ought to do. I'm talking about a daily walk with God that is characterized by submission and obedience. Is that the way you live? When you learn that will, do you obey it? Joseph pursues his God to the place that doing God's will in his life is more important than anything else. Joseph brings up this Jesus in his child and models before him as best as he humanly could what a father ought to be. And if you look at his story, he had to drink of that bitter cup to do the father's will. Think about Jesus, grows up in that home. And he drinks that bitter cup what the Father had for him to accomplish the Father's will. Joseph here is a man that pursues God. Have you learned God's will for your life? It's to be saved and to be conformed to the image of Christ. How well are you doing there? Have you trusted him? Are you letting him work in your life? As God leads in your life, are you jumping on board with his plan? We can do this as we pursue our God and we allow him to lead us, just as Joseph did. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning that we can look to your word, that we can see examples of people who, far from perfect, just mere people, but people that are willing to let God use them. And in this situation, probably a teenager. Lord, I pray as we gather here as teens and adults that we would have a heart that says, what do you have for me? and we'd be willing to let your will be ours. Father, help us to get over ourselves and our selfishness and our competitiveness and our jealousy and all of these things. Help us get over that and pursue you and say yes to you for whatever you'd have for us.